Namaste and welcome to this second weekly update of the Resolve Ego course graduate program. And just as a reminder, we are discussing this month the question, where am I? We're contemplating that and the results of that. And we're also looking at causality in lesson two to really come to a deeper understanding that if there is no separate being, that there is no resulting effects of that separate being. And the deepening fruition of this question, this seeing, this looking, and they work together very well. If I ask where I am and I can't find myself, then I can't seem to find myself in a location. Then that separate being that I thought I am, that I still have this habit to imagine myself to be, is being, my ability to feel and think and experience that way is being eroded by this question. And when I see there wasn't a separate being, there isn't really, my everywhereness is the only truth that's coming clearer and clearer every single time I ask, then I'll also be less and less able to believe in the effects of this separate being that we feel ourselves to be. And the most important cause and effect to see through is this idea that I, me here, this separate limited being, I'm bound, I'm caught in illusion, and I'm working my way free, and that my problems that I see in my life are the effect of this delusion that I am someone who is unenlightened, not liberated, stuck in concepts and illusions, and I have to work my way free. So even the effect of needing liberation, needing freedom, needing to break through, needing to establish yourself as the self, all of that are the effects of the cause, which is non-existent. The cause, the separate being, is non-existent. There never was anyone bound, ever. And there isn't anyone, any separate being, or anyone that can do anything to cause liberation. Liberation happens with seeing, 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 and realizing what that means. It's not a doing, it's realizing I was never caught. I've always been the vast infinite consciousness in which I imagined a world and all these separate beings. And then I imagined I was stuck and had to come out of it. And that's the ultimate place that causality understanding will take you to. So a couple of things before I get started with reading the feedback that's come in this week. You're in this program because you want it as direct as I can say it. So here I go. Some people are sending in feedback every week, and that's great. And some people sent some in last week, didn't this week. Some people aren't sending in any at all. All of those are fine and great, but if you want liberation, if you want to live as that freedom itself, are you engaging enough in your inquiry? And I don't mean to say that you're not doing enough. And what I'm saying is, are you using this graduate program service as much as you can? Are you engaging completely? I haven't actually really had a direct feedback here at all for the results of you know, what it is like to read the Gita as the author. Nobody has said, well, this happens when I feel this, I feel doubt, I feel a bit of a fraud, or, you know, so are you avoiding certain parts of the exercises? Are you using this? Are you using me as much as you can? This is your chance for liberation. Are you engaging as much as you want to? Are you riding on the questions and the feedback of others, which is great, and my answer is that's great too. But is that going to be enough for you? Where are you stuck in that particular body? Where do you feel doubt in this where am I question? What problems do you particularly have? And realizing as an advanced group like this that we are, we're doing this advanced but very simple direct study here, that we kind of have a responsibility to help each other too. So anything that you submit and, you know, ask, I'm having a challenge about this, I can guarantee everybody else is pretty much probably. And you have to really fuel this hunger to do excessive inquiry. What do I mean by excessive inquiry? I mean more than you need to do. How much do we need to ask this question, where am I? How much do we need to investigate causality and whether it's true? Does it just happen when you're suffering? Or do you keep hold of that inquiry once the pain-killing aspect of it has worked? I ask, where am I? And I can't find myself. And I suddenly realize I'm not the one suffering from this particular karmic pattern that I thought I was. What happens in the next moment? Have you dropped the inquiry? Excessive inquiry then is more than you need to do. An abundance of inquiry is going to lead to an abundance of seeing, revelation, and beautiful experiences, states, everything that you've ever wanted coming. And I'm not exaggerating there. So it's up to each one of us to fuel that fire. If you're not submitting homework, why not? And I'm not saying you have to. I'm just asking to look at why not. Is there something in there that says, I haven't got anything to contribute that's valuable? Is there something in there that's denying that you're having a challenge with the questions? Is there something in there that doesn't want to speak up and reach out? If so, you have to push through that to wake up, because that's a separate being thinking. You have to really work your way through that uncomfortableness and reach forward. And I would love to hear, I'm starting to get some feedback a little bit of just how powerful this question is, the effect it's having, the seeing of causality getting ever clearer. That, gosh, you know, if I think there's something wrong with me, then I'm going to experience all these things wrong in my world. And if I'm seeing difference in duality, I'm going to keep seeing duality outside in my world, and I'll never be able to fix it, and it's coming clearer. I really want to hear how your life is changing, how things are really moving for you. And if it's not changing and moving because of the question, then you really need to get in touch. And I don't care if you send me 10 amounts of feedback per week, as long as they're relevant and you know, something that I can work with. It gives me a clearer picture of where you're stuck. If you prefer to kind of journal during the week and then write it all down in one final thing and send it, fine, do that too. But just really look at why you're not doing that. If you're not, are you really as engaged as you could be? And don't take that from a sense of unworthiness, okay, because you're not ever unworthy, you never have been. But just recognizing that we have a tendency to think in terms of being a separate being, even once we've seen that that's not true, that the mind is lazy, it thinks a certain way, and we have to turn that tide around. Have a look at how much of your thinking is still from the sense that you have a location. And that's what we really need to, if I see that I can't find a location, I can't find somewhere that I am, then how does that affect my thinking in the very next moment? Am I going to allow myself to kind of lazily go back into the old patterns? I had to do this myself. I had to see that my inquiry, my meditation, my contemplation wasn't going to mean anything if I allowed this kind of easier road to travel was just to go right back into these old thoughts, even though they hurt so much. You just have to turn the tide of your thinking. Is your thinking more from that which has no location, or from the location of being a separate being? And only you can find that out for yourself. Only you can really begin to see, you know, that, oh gosh, like 90. When I really looked, all of my thinking, all of it, was from a location. That I'm someone somewhere, still trying to work my way towards awakening and all the things that come with that. And I had to begin to admit that wasn't true. It isn't true. And all my thinking was in question then. All my problems are in question then. Is this still relevant for me now? And I want to encourage you to build a fire inside yourself. To every time you find yourself thinking of a problem that you have as a separate being, as someone with a location, can you kind of write, this is the last time I'm going to think this way, or I'm going to go through this blindly or unconsciously? Can you make it even more determined? Allow it to fuel this hunger to be finally free. And it should be coming urgent. There should be an urgency about your inquiry to wake up fully. Every time you ask the question, you're going to, no merit is ever wasted. No work is ever lost. But let's be honest here and say that none of us know that we even have the next hour, let alone the next day or week or next month's graduate program. Something could happen to the body in between those times. And if we are, I'm not trying to be depressing here, but if we're really serious about this, then it should be something that is, we're not taking for granted the time that we have. You have to understand the amazing karmic merit that it represents that you're even hearing these words, that you've had enough wisdom to engage in the course, that you've seen that liberation is in your grasp, with that place where you never had any challenges at all. Not that you're going to break out of something or come free, but just to see effortlessly and constantly that, you know, to think without a location constantly, effortlessly by default is what we're doing here, isn't it? I've seen it clearer and clearer and clearer. It doesn't change the biological thinking. You have to undo the biological thinking. You know, you can still, I can't find myself anywhere at all when I look. And a growing sense of my everywhereness. Every time I ask that question, it's burning away my capacity to think of myself as a separate being. So just to ask the question and to experience, I can't answer it. I don't know where I am. That is absolutely washing the body and mind clean every single time you ask. Every time you ask, it's like a bird flapping its wings and breaking away from the gravitational pull of the ground. And as you've seen with a bird, when it takes off, it has to exert a massive amount of effort at first to get off the ground. Once it gets up into the air, the occasional flap, and it can glide around on the... Or if you watch a plane taking off or a space shuttle taking off, there's a massive amount of fuel and effort needed to take off at first to fight the gravitational pull. What are we fighting here? The tendency to just go back into the dream, to think of myself as someone somewhere doing some work to get out of this trap. You're only coming to see that you've never been caught, never been bound. That should be a joy. Every time you ask the question, I don't know where I am. I really can't find myself. And oh my God, all my problems are from this place of being somewhere, this certainty that I'm someone somewhere. And if there is no cause, as in a separate being with all this karma that I think I've brought into this lifetime, all these patterns, then how real are the effects also? Was I ever really unenlightened? Can I ever really, as a separate being, be enlightened? No. Can I just come to see that my everywhereness was all that was ever so and enjoy my seeming someoneness somewhere in time and space? I absolutely enjoy my someoneness now because I know it's not real. I've asked this question enough times. And it's not so much about the question or the asking or the answering, but building a habit. We're habitual beings as human beings. You may have seen the force of the habit to go back into separation, location thinking. I'm going to call it location thinking for simplification. Thinking you are someone somewhere and that the next, very next person you see is other than you. None of that is true without a location. You can't be sure of any of it, even that you're unenlightened, even that you're the one listening to this rather than the one speaking right now. Can't be sure of any of it. It's all wiped off the board with this question. You can't be sure you're unenlightened or you're enlightened. You can't be sure of any of it. All has to go. It's all thinking on one body only, as one body only. And coming out of it, experiencing freedom constantly and effortlessly, is an extraordinarily simple thing. And it's right where I'm pointing to right now. Just to kind of say, what habits are you fostering? And just to begin to be conscious of how much of your thinking. To look at what your mind is thinking about is extraordinarily illuminating in that you'll see all of its thinking is from a particular location. What can your mind think about that is true? What can it say from a particular location, one brain, somewhere in the universe, about that which is beyond time and space, locationless, already perfect, whole and complete, invisible, intangible, effortlessly present, unable to be destroyed? All of that. What can someone sitting in one seat of a 70,000-seater stadium, one guy sat at the front in one place in that stadium, how can he possibly see the perspective of the whole stadium itself? How can he see as the whole thing itself? Just to really grasp this is going to really undermine your love for thinking as, you know, in location terms. I'm not saying thinking is useless. I'm saying it's irrelevant here. And that's why the mind goes silent, because the self, the noumenon that you are, begins to see, but thinking is never, I'm never going to solve my problems by thinking in a location. I can only see my problems don't exist from here and watch that reflect in my outer world through causality. The entity that has these, that's carried these karmic patterns all through many, many lifetimes, bodies, reincarnation over and over again, there's a separate sense of someone. I've created body after body after body to continue this fuel, the, and fuel this dream of I'm someone, getting somewhere, working towards something. And now I'm finally almost there. You know, all of that has to be let go of, because it's still happening in a location. So having said all that, I'll get down to what I was here to talk about, which is the feedback itself. I'm not trying to kind of lay it on heavy, but I really want to instill upon you the urgency, the importance of what you're doing, and the absolute karmic merit to be in such a thing like this. What do I mean by karmic merit? That there is no way to fail now in your awakening. There is no way to delude yourself back to sleep again. If you're watching and listening to this, then you're already out of the dream enough to see that you can't possibly continue to live like that. Something is already way too small, you know, thinking with a location, doesn't fit. And you really want to stop wearing clothes that are two sizes too small for you. That's what it's like. And the most beautiful place of all is where you don't know anything. And your mind yourself is forced to admit that when you ask this question, where am I actually? Honest answer, the only thing you can say that's truthful is I don't know. I'm here, but I don't know where I am. I can't find myself in any particular place. And I know that I'm actually here because I'm here to ask the question. So I'm not present as a something or an object or a phenomenon, but I am here. So where does that leave me? Where am I then? If I take a map of the universe and I can't find a location for myself on that map of the universe, then maybe I am the paper that it's written on, that's drawn on, and the map itself, the whole universe. And they're not different. We're going to look at that next month in the next month's work. So let's begin with the feedback. Okay. Hi, Helen. I meant to send this earlier. If it's too late, it's perfectly okay. I'd love your insights on this contemplation. Well, just before I continue, I'm going to go through the homework every Sunday morning, UK time. So if you, there'll be occasional times when it's different, but there's a rule. So if you can get your homework in Saturday, late Saturday, by Saturday, your feedback. And I want positive feedback as well. I would love that, you know, I want to hear your successes, your breaking through and all of that. I experience the joy of you breaking through as much as I do with my own self. There's no difference. I experience the pain also of your feeling bound also. So that's the kind of the drive behind that. Anyway, I'm digressing completely today. So So Sunday mornings, you know, is the kind of the cutoff point, but it'll go into the next week. If not, you know, I'll read it the next time. Over the past few weeks, I've been feeling a strong desire to escape. Everything seems overwhelming. I've been doing some self-inquiry and had some contemplation, had a session, a one-to-one session. Questions I've been focusing on are, is it true I need to escape? What do I feel escaping would give me that I don't have now? Is it true that I have to escape to have these things? What is the downside of being present now? So that's an important one to look at. Along with the urge to break out of this, there may also be something inside that's wanting us to stay stuck. And in this particular session with this person, we looked at what's the unconscious motivation for staying stuck? What am I scared of inside or resistant to or don't want to look at, so that when I break through, I'll have to face this. You know, what do I feel is going to be bad about waking up? And that's always a good question for everyone to really look at inside. For myself, when I looked at that, you know, what do I feel waking up is going to take away from me? There was this thing about not being able to function in the world, not being able to be a good mum, not caring about the world, all of that, which actually turns out to be completely the opposite, you know. So it's good to look at that. That's a particularly important question. In contemplating what escaping would give me, a few of the answers were freedom, a space to process, space to breathe, safety and security. Surprisingly, the one with the most charge was safety and security, so I decided to delve deeper into this answer. Internal voices were saying, don't rock the boat. Don't disturb my flow, my groove. Don't make me change. How dare you? Don't cause me to deviate from my way. Leave me alone. I'm better alone. Leave me alone. So this is that voice of that resistance that we were talking about. You know, voice is wanting to stay the same? And it's usually from this sense of feeling safer, more secure if I don't rock the boat, if I don't open up. But we really have to kind of look at that and examine that. Is that true? Because this kind of thinking still in place, I still don't feel secure. It's not actually working to stay closed. I don't feel safe as a someone if I stay closed. The very reason for not opening up has to be seen to be invalid, meaning the defense mechanisms of ego aren't actually working, really, are they? They're keeping you safe, happy, peaceful. All the reasons for being the way we are aren't actually really working. And if you were working towards something, wanted to feel safe and secure, it'd be a good idea to really check, is what I'm doing working? And if staying closed is not working, then it's obvious. Then comes the power and the clarity to overcome these drives to stay closed. Maybe there's more freedom and security and safety in being completely open again now. These mechanisms developed perhaps in early childhood for all of us, but are they valid now? Are they actually working now? Or are they even having the opposite effect now? What made me feel safer as a separate limited being? Is it still valid? Still to kind of, we used to call it the hedgehog approach, you know, kind of curl myself into a ball and stick my spikes out and hope that everything will be okay. And of course, we're not doing that consciously, but something inside us is still. Just to touch upon that without judgment, just to see without judgment, it's not actually working. It is going to help you come out of it and open up. And I'm really pleased that this person has kind of sent this in and kind of really pushing through this. It's really good to see. It makes me very, very happy. So I had a couple of realizations. I believe escaping would give me a feeling of safety and security. Actually, now hopefully you're seeing it's the opposite. Actually staying present to this moment gives the safety and security. It's the only permanent security here. When I feel a strong desire to escape, I have a strong desire to be safe again. Echoes of childhood experiences and the conditioning that resulted flutters as I write this. Going a bit deeper, there is a need to be in space where I can feel I'm more in control of myself and surroundings. I want to escape to a place I feel I can manage. So these are all the voice of security and looking for security here, isn't it? Reflecting back to my initial contemplation questions, I asked, am I safe and secure now? What a good question, a powerful question. I had the image of a shaky steel pendulum that wouldn't offer a swing or circular motion that would indicate a yes or a no. Then this question arose, do I really need safety and security? Thinking about our homework assignment to identify in my life where I'm still believing the effects of a non-existent cause, I considered safety from what, protection from what. This is perfect. This is so good. The seeing that I have this drive that we carry from lifetime to lifetime, the urge to feel safe and secure, that is inherent in the separate being that we thought was there. And the trying, all the things we do as a human being to try to do that, including these egoic defense mechanisms. The cause is non-existent, therefore the effect must be too, that I can never get to a point where I feel safe. It's not possible at all. But I can come to see that I've always been perfectly safe. There's nothing I can do as a separate being to feel safe. It's just never going to work. As much as our ego is convinced it will, it's not possible at all. I may feel some temporary relief by having my outer circumstances arranged in a way that, you know, enough money, enough security, enough friends, all of that stuff, but it's got to change again. So this is the only, this is real breaking through. This is really exciting. Whatever caused me to feel unsafe does not exist. Wow, wow, wow. That is so powerful. I just have to stop there and just that statement alone would take you all the way to utter security and freedom if you really sit with that. Whatever caused me to have a desire to escape doesn't exist. Believing the existence of these causes is not knowing, not accepting, and or not allowing what is true. So if I'm insisting that I need to feel safe still, I'm denying my ability to access, to live as, to become effortlessly aware of that which has always been safe. And all of our desires have to be looked at this way, to feel loved, to feel accepted, to feel safe, to feel worthy, to feel awakened. All of that has to be looked at. If the cause is untrue, so too is the effect. It can't be achieved through that way. So this is not about denying what I feel in any given moment. Great. So if I feel scared, I'm not going to deny that there's fear, but I am going to question if it's my problem that I need to feel safe. That's a good one. It's about transforming or healing what I feel and allowing it to dissolve into truth. Perfect. Perfect. With the light of your inquiry and your realization that the cause is non-existent, therefore the effect must be too. We know that the effect, we can see the cause is non-existent rather, because everything we try to do to feel safe doesn't work permanently. Why? Because we're trying to do it as this being that doesn't exist, this separate being doesn't exist. So how can it actually ever achieve anything? How can it ever wake up, this separate being? How can it ever enlighten? How can it ever feel safe, loved, protected, all of that? There is no way to remedy the problems of something that isn't actually there. You can only come to see it isn't there. Therefore, I can stop also trying to get the desired outcome of these desires, these strong desires, just because we've had them for many, many lifetimes, thousands and thousands of earthly years, maybe, the desire to feel safe. Ever since we first contemplated the idea that we were a separate being alone in the world, that fear, that drive, that desire has been there to feel safe. It's inherent in the separation that I am separate from where I'm trying to get back to. There's going to be fear with that. So even though it's been there all that time, it doesn't mean it was ever true, ever. And this is the essence of freedom. Finding out what is your problem and how to solve it if it still remains. And you'll find out it doesn't here. The insights from this contemplation feel utterly radical to me. Good, because it should be shocking. It should be, oh my goodness, I am never going to fix it this way. And then, oh my goodness, I am really coming to see that I've imagined these problems, and they seem totally real. Of course they did, for thousands and thousands of years. Who knows how many lifetimes we've been trying to feel safe. But also utterly radical that I'm never going to achieve that. Not in this way. Not as a separate being. Not from a location. And if I don't know even whether I'm safe or unsafe because I can't find myself, he puts a whole new spin on this. And it is utterly radical. And you'll find this quality arising with everything we look at in this graduate program, because it really is going to cause you to really question your thinking, your habits, the things that we take for granted, and really the motivation behind probably 99.9% of our actions and 99.9% of our seeking, our spirituality. It's a shift over happening here, and it will be utterly radical. And you kind of have to let yourself be shocked by that a little bit, or a lot, as much as you want to. My whole being hasn't fully embraced it yet. There isn't a finish line, really. Just I keep seeing it and seeing it myself, and it's just less and less shocking, more and more normal as I see it. Just to be willing to look and look again, it is the key here. And to be honest, I'm not fully convinced this is really healing. That's perfect. That's also fine, isn't it? It's fine. It's just enough to see how I have been doing it isn't working. I'll try this new way. I'll give it some consistency and then see what happens. It's going to be left of normal, this, isn't it? It's going to be off center of our normal way of working with problems, dealing with things. And it's going to feel at first a little bit like just denying this issue. You know, like I'm not really finding the peace I want by really going with this question. But we have to kind of overturn that urge for instant gratification, to do something, be something, to meditate or find some place where I feel safer temporarily, you know, to feel a better state, and overcome this urge for instant gratification that human beings have. If I said, okay, if you go do this thing, you'll feel safer. You know, it's like giving you a small piece of chocolate right now, you know, a tiny little piece of chocolate. Or I say, in a month, if you stay with this question, in a month I'll give you unlimited chocolate forever, and you'll never put on weight from it, you'll never feel ill from it, and it'd be the healthiest thing you can eat. Anyway, the analogy there stops. But would you rather have this small piece of chocolate now, or would you rather wait to the end of the month, unlimited, endless supply? And a month is how long it takes to form a habit in human thinking, to rewire your neurobiology. So having said that, the beauty of this where am I question is you get both. You get the chocolate now, because the moment you ask the question, you feel better. I can't actually seem to suffer when I ask that question, when I contemplate this different way of thinking, and you get the endless supply. So you get to have your cake and eat it. That's why I'm so passionate about this inquiry, because it gives you both the immediate gratification and you're burning your ability to suffer. Completely. You're reprogramming the body, the mind, the cells, the tissues every single time you ask that question. You are moving further and further away from your ability to suffer. And that's a never-ending thing, meaning you can always get freer in the body and mind. And the way to do it is to really be willing to embrace what's radical, what seems, you know, kind of some energy inside goes, well, I don't really know if this is working. That's absolutely fine. Don't have to get rid of that. And this feedback is perfect. It's perfect. It's honest. It's open. And it's to the point and wonderful. So I'm not fully convinced this is really healing. It just seems so radical. I'll just let this be for now and trust. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Next one. where am I? Everywhere, if I am limitless, and nowhere, if phenomena are non-existent. That's what I have at the moment. Wow. So, everywhere, if I am limitless. So if I'm limitless, if I have no limits, then I must be absolutely everywhere by definition. And then, this is exciting, nowhere if phenomena are non-existent. So where do I reference myself, my location, if even the universe is a phenomena, is not actually, if none of these objects are here, and really all there is the formless empty space of consciousness, the pure infinite awareness, the noumenon. Where do I reference myself then? Is even nowhere or everywhere appropriate? Those are subtle locations, aren't they? Nowhere in particular, and I'm everywhere. And to be infinite even goes beyond even these very subtle definitions. They're very useful definitions, everywhere and nowhere in particular, until we see we're ready to go beyond that. You can use the location of being everywhere to undo the idea that I'm located somewhere, and then throw that away when it's enough. That's exciting. That's what I have at the moment. I've seen two repeating patterns. Both are fairly new. My partner has lost most of her hearing, which results in misunderstandings and irritated exchanges. Neither of us likes it, and it passes quickly, but it still keeps recurring. So using this where am I question, how do you know, if you don't know where you are, do you know whether you are yourself or the one that's losing the hearing? And if you can see the assumption that I'm the one here and the other person has lost her hearing, and I'm the one that's feeling this irritation and this pattern is going on between the two of us, and we might be trying to be as loving as we can about it and working through it, but still it irritates. And it's the irritation coming from the idea that you have a location, not from the pattern itself, that you know where you are in time and space. That is the only reason that we've ever suffered. So where are you? You've said, if I'm limitless and nowhere in phenomena aren't existent. So if those two bodies that you're describing aren't actually existing in the way that we think, how do you know which person you are in this pattern? And what I'm describing here is the way to break through any particular pattern. Relationships need two beings. Problems need two beings, always two things, me and what I'm experiencing. And if you don't know where you are, how do you know which one of these beings you are? At best, you have to say that, I don't even know that I'm suffering from this, actually. I can't say that anymore with truth. Intermediary step could be that, well, I must be both of these beings. I must be willing to see it from both sides. And to, I'm not saying for a second you're not, you obviously are, but just that deepening. And then to admit, I don't know that this is my problem anymore. It doesn't mean it's not going to resolve. When I admit I don't have this problem really inside, that the one suffering from it is non-existent, a separate being, as we were just saying, then the cause, the effect also, the actual irritation between the two of you will begin to disappear too. So let me know how you get on with that. I'm really excited to see the feedback from that. So the second pattern is, the second is bodily aches and pains, which I've dismissed since the body has been here 89 years. From the noumenon point of view, I can read the Gita as my own, but I still feel I need the help and practice to stabilize that point of view. That's perfect. So the bodily aches and pains, again, view them from that particular place. Do I know that I'm in pain or I'm suffering or that I'm aching if I don't know where I am? It's not a denial. It's not a denial. We still work with the body, do what we need to help the body. But do I know, can I still say, if I love truth as much as I say I do, can I still be 100% convinced that I'm in pain, that my body hurts? Can I still say with 100% conviction that I'm not the very next body that I meet also that isn't in pain or isn't suffering or isn't 89 or, you know, whatever issue is coming up from us in the body? It has to be solved from a different level of consciousness than it was created from. It's never going to be solved from the same level ever. So I still feel I need the help and practice to stabilize that point of view. That's fine. And that's the reason for reading the Gita from as the author, to notice the gap, to notice, okay, I don't feel as convinced as the person who did actually write this, or as the teacher or the Krishna or whatever. I don't feel as 100% convinced. It's enough to notice that and go, okay, why is that? Why actually is that? Why don't I feel as stabilized in this as the person who is speaking these words? And it always comes back to having a location. I still feel I'm someone somewhere deepening my seeing, and at some end point, I will be as deep, as convinced, as stable as Krishna. But Krishna is that which has no location, didn't arrive at stabilization. It just became clear that it was never his issue. And I say his, but really Krishna is the noumenon, that which is, and you can see in the way that Krishna speaks, sometimes he speaks to Arjuna very, very directly. All of those that worship me come to me. He's not talking about personal self, is he? He's talking about worshipping that which has no location, being obsessed with that which has no location. And all the problems that seem to come from a location begin to fade away. So literally this one of needing to stabilize even, needing to be convinced even. If you rock solid in that I am already that, then even this problem will fade away. Wonderful feedback. Okay. Let's have a look. Okay, so we have two sent in here together, so I'll read them. After looking at causality in areas of my life, I've been consistently asking, where am I? What is reality? And can this be truth or real? Using a reminder for me to check, I'm asking at least daily, but usually much more. That's good. The consistent questions led to an opening and deeper recognition of reality. Very good. That manifestations appearing and disappearing are shapes of truth with no reality to them. So here we're touching on lesson four. And as we were just saying with the previous question, that it's, you know, if I'm nowhere in particular, there is no reference point, if even everywhere, if phenomena aren't really here in the way that we think. Manifestations appearing and disappearing are shapes of truth with no reality to them. So the shapes don't have any reality, but the truth they're made out of does. I want to see the ocean, not the waves. I want to see the essence of something and not the shape it's taking so much. I'm not going to believe in the shape only, the form only. Since the opening, I've continued with the questions, especially when it's quiet and love is shown. That is good. That is good, because this person was having a challenge, as we all do, as I do, did, whatever. Sometimes I can't remember which body I'm talking about. Tended to drop the inquiry for a while when things got more pleasant, and then begin to suffer again later on and pick up the inquiry. So it's good that you're breaking through here into this. Okay, so questioning the non-issues has allowed it to become more normal. It's just a way to look at the issues. It's not just a way to look at issues, it's a way of being, I think is what you're saying here, which is great. So now when something appears and the question is asked, the something is seen to be truth appearing as a reminder to keep questioning, the recognition that the issue isn't real. Wow, so whenever something pops up and there's a, oh, it's now seen as not something wrong with my life. It's now seen as, oh, here's another reminder to inquire. Thank you very much, life, and for helping me build this effortless, constant habit of inquiry. And that is perfect, wonderful. No, shouldn't be, just allowing questioning without doing. Don't understand that sentence if I'm honest, but it's okay. I'm going to keep questioning and look at the Gitas. A question came up as an issue is shown, questioned, and is recognized that there is only peace without issues or a person even questioning. So an issue arises in our life and we go into the inquiry about it. Well, where am I actually? And then from far from fixing the problem, you know, trying to work on the problem, we see that the problem is a real thing that seems to arise when I seem to have a location, when I realize I don't have a location. The one with the problem and the problem begin to disappear. The literally the manifestation will change. So this question that came out of this, who or why do we attend satsang? Who's teaching or listening? It's not a question with a need for an answer, particularly, or a contemplation. In fact, the answer is appearing. All oneness includes student, teacher, satsang, and question. All the same, in fact, all doesn't fit, as that denotes plural. So all I am not seeing myself as a teacher, teaching, holding satsang. This, all these bodies are coming together to continue my inquiry. This whole graduate program is about me. You know, I'm getting the most out of it, and there isn't anyone else for me to wake up to help enlighten. It's just from that place. I don't know whether I'm student or teacher. I just know that something's fallen in love with the question and it's spreading out to more bodies. Even that isn't really true, is it, if there aren't really any bodies? But there's a beautiful way to hold it, to see it, and that's a perfect place to have your inquiry happening from, to question even the need to wake up, to, you know, if I don't know where I am, do I even need liberation? Is that a problem that only happens with a location? Something very exciting is going to come out of that. Further to my last essay, I have listened to the class recording to the end. I heard it so differently to the actual class. So there's been some deepening in between attending the live class and then listening again here. This is the same person who just sent in the previous one. The doing or not doing question, and the answer was heard to another level. Great questions and answers. Listening to the Gita from the perspective of the author was wonderful. Wonderful, great, but maybe a little bit more feedback for me. Why was it wonderful? What did it do that hasn't happened any other way? What did it give you? Did it give you that sense that there's nowhere else to go or nothing to do? And that's the thing, you know. So maybe some feedback next time about that, if you wouldn't mind. Just reading it as Krishna, not as Arjuna, or reading it as Helen Hamilton rather than, you know, someone that's studying it. What does that do for you? Why is it so powerful? Okay, next. Hi, Helen. So this week I've managed to stay with the question, where am I? That's a good thing in itself. It's become more and more important to stay with the question. I think at times I may have been asking it from, I hope it would resolve some pain issues and feeling of being overwhelmed. So that's honest, isn't it? Some part of me is asking, where am I? Because I just want to feel better. And that's fine. It's absolutely fine. You don't need to get rid of that. You have the chocolate right now, right? The piece of chocolate right now. It's okay. But not only that, you know, to stay with the question even when you feel better, because you want the unlimited supply of endless abundance at the end of the month. Eventually, I was able to ask the question from an openness. Can it be both? Can it be both? Can it be both? Yes, absolutely. On the whole, when I ask this question, the answer is silence and a sense of presence. Very similar response to when I meditate, which I asked about last week. Again, no fireworks, good. We don't really want fireworks. We want, you can have endless fireworks and it gets you nowhere because it's a phenomenal experience. And you can enjoy it, but it might not be shifting you at all, you know, in terms of what you know about yourself, what you know about reality. So is this a good sign? Yep, very much. I let go of the need for fireworks as soon as I could. You know, by fireworks, we mean some big aha moment, some big seeing, some rolling around on the floor, crying, laughing, you know, shaking, convulsing, speaking in tongues and all that comes with that. It's fine. It might happen. But you'll get up off the floor and be exactly the same, go right back to the same old thinking. And I've seen it happen so many times. What I'm interested in, what I'm excited in, is those that are quietly becoming obsessed with the question. Like there's a raging fire growing inside. And you're doing everything you can to stoke that fire. Everything. Every time you suffer, it's used as fuel for this fire. Every time. I'm not going to feel like this again, ever. That was my mantra. I feel like this now, but I'm going to do everything I can to make sure. I'm not denying it. I'm suffering, but I want to make sure I never feel this way again. How can I do that? What's the most intelligent way? So that's good. Sometimes it feels as if the silence is moving, in which I resist sometimes. As if silence is moving, in which I resist sometimes. You can question that. If I'm everywhere as the silence, where am I moving to? Can I move? Or is that a sensation that's been identified with a phenomenon? Is the silence moving or unmoving even? Is it beyond both those categories? With no reference point for phenomena, with no bodies, where is it moving to? Is that possible even? That does cause suffering and feeling overwhelmed. So is this true if you don't know where you are? Are you able to sense the silence moving or resist or feel overwhelmed if you don't know which body you are? Really, really, really look at that. What is a good question to challenge this thought? Well, where am I is the perfect question. I'm not going to give you another question because that one is best. I feel overwhelmed. I feel I'm resisting. I feel I'm getting, oh, this is too much. You know, when I go back into illusion, it builds up and it's too much and it overwhelms you very quickly and I resist. Well, where are you? Can that happen to you if you don't have a location? Is that happening in this body? No. And then why aren't you identifying with this body? Why are you only identifying with one body? From the sense that I have a location, I know where I am. And it's this body here that I'm living in only, that's suffering right now, that's resistance is happening in. You can never get to the end of the resistance that way because it is the essence of causality. The effect of thinking I have a location is that I will always have the problems of having a location, having to break out of it even. Where are you right now? Can you still tell me that you're overwhelmed with 100% conviction? That you're suffering, that you're resisting, that you're affected by any of it? Can you still tell me that with 100% conviction? Can you still tell me you're overwhelmed if you really love truth? Really. I'm not saying that to make you feel bad. I'm just saying at some point the love of truth has to override even this, doesn't it? That actually the most truthful thing I can really admit is that I don't know if this is my problem. Just that is enough gap to begin to slide away from this. I'm not so sure even now. I'm not 100% convinced anymore that this is my problem. Each time I ask this question, I'm going to be less and less convinced. I'm overwhelmed, I'm suffering, I'm resisting, I'm coming out of it, all of that stuff. Very good. Okay, so last but not least. Hi, Helen. Helen, excuse me, just a sharing. Okay, good. This week, I found this week to be different as I strictly stuck to the inquiry, where am I? Well, this is exciting. I haven't read this one yet and I really want to see where this goes. So I strictly stuck, that's really hard to say actually, to the inquiry, where am I? I found that my asking this question and giving no importance to any answer just led to more emptiness. Yes. Even when triggered, the emptiness lay within what I perceived to be turmoil. So even when some triggers are risen inside, when we stay with this question, this turmoil, but it's seen that the emptiness, the noumenon, the formlessness, is appearing inside even this turmoil, that it is the essence of turmoil even. And at that point, my reaction did not matter. So even when triggered, the emptiness lay within what I perceived to be turmoil. And at that point, my reaction did not matter. So we're not pushing it away. There's some, rising inside the body. But it doesn't matter in that it's not affecting me. Less and less it's affecting me. It's just something that's happening in a body somewhere in time and space. And it's hugely different, isn't it? You're probably beginning to see. By relentlessly staying with this question, obsessively embracing this question, you're breaking free. I feel I'm slowly releasing my perceived control of life. Yep. And the need to control as well, right? The sense that I've ever been able to control anything, or my need to control as well, and or my need to control And even my sense eventually that there's anything to control, anything to be threatened by, will just begin to loosen itself here and work itself away. I am seeing that all this floundering serves no purpose. I've been recording myself reciting reverence to the One, which has been powerful, wonderful. Again, can you know, I'd love to hear more. Why is it powerful? What's it doing? What's it shifting? You know, let's just get some feedback on that. It's great that you're letting me know that, and I'm really excited by this. It's reverence to the One is going to, like that passage in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, all those that worship me will come to me, meaning the formless, undivided unity of consciousness that already is the noumenon. And reading that passage, reverence to the One as the author, as the formlessness itself, as Krishna even, same. There's no difference between me and Krishna, no difference between you and Krishna. It's going to show you this gap, as we were saying before. It's powerful in that it shows me where my perspective is still being seen as a limited, separate being, right? Having a location and time and space, one particular body that I'm housed in only. And it will show the gap between the awakened state. You know, when I used to live in London, they had this constant reminder. I used to go on the underground every day to work and back. And everywhere there's this mind the gap. You know, when you pull into a station, mind the gap, they tell you, because sometimes there's a gap between the train and the platform edge. And this reading as if I am the author itself shows you the gap between how Krishna speaks, moves, thinks, how the awakened state, how that noumenon in its pure clarity moves and speaks, and the certainty and the conviction, and where we are right now in that. And it's not to stimulate more working towards trying to get out of, it's to see, I'm still believing I have work to do here. When I read it as me, I feel I'm someone getting somewhere. When I read it as Krishna, and then I realize that I am, I can see the gap between the two perspectives. And I know which one I want to choose. Hopefully I know which one is going to give me ultimate peace. So that's great. So just to finish the session, stay with the question, work on that, where am I? Look at the effects you're still believing in, keep going. The tendency will to be to want to kind of let go of the question now, because you're right at the point in the second week where habits are being formed right now, and third week, as we move into the third week, which is this coming 7 days, is where you're really going to see the fruit of this question and the fruit of this inquiry. And by the end of the fourth week, you won't want to give it up. You will be experiencing this infinite deepening that just gets deeper and deeper. And every time you ask this question, where am I actually? You're lifting yourself above this gravitational pull even more. So stoke the fire of your inquiry. And refuse to admit there's any difference between me and you, or Krishna and yourself, or any other awakened being that's walked this planet. That's how they arrived at that knowing and seeing, not by getting there, by refusing to admit there's any difference between themselves and that, by being steadfast in they are that which has no location. And it filters through the body and mind and comes to a clear insight and understanding that's a very powerful, but mostly, most important for us, effortless, constant. It's effortlessly constant with this question eventually, meaning it's, I've rewired my brain to think in terms of not having a location. I can't think in terms of having a location anymore. That isn't even something that I'm capable of now. Doesn't mean, at first it's a switch over. I realize I'm thinking as a location, then I go to, okay, is that true really? Where am I? And if I can't find myself, is this still a problem for me? At some point that becomes effortless, automatic, all thought drops away there, because there is no problem you can have without a location. There's no desire that needs fulfilling, any of that. It's all just seems to be of it. So I hope this session has been helpful. Please send in your homework. Help yourself, help everyone else as well. Keep meeting up as well. I've sneaky peeks at the graduate program Facebook group, in which you're all meeting up, and it really makes me happy, you know, to just to get online with each other and discuss these things. That is also satsang. Satsang really is association with the wise. And wise doesn't mean an awakened teacher only. It means those of us that are wise enough to realize there's something important here for me to grab and grasp. Those are the people you want to be associating with, that are heading in the same direction as you. And you can use each other, help each other, work with each other, use each other's support and encouragement. And even as we discussed before, this sense that it is what I'm seeing from my inquiry is so radically different, radical, even the word, at least here, how I was raised, radical has a negative connotation, doesn't it? It's almost like a vigilante or troublemaker or anarchist. But radical in its truest sense, it means extraordinarily different, unusual. And it doesn't mean you have to sort of let go of the negative connotations of that, that it's going against the herding instinct of us as biological beings, you know, with our body and mind. We want to herd together into groups and fit into social structures. And you have to kind of go against that to some degree, that drive, that innate human drive. Or work with it, form a group, herd together in the graduate program. I did that with my books. I didn't have anyone to do this with. I herded into my books and my pictures and I made my own group. Sounds totally sad saying it that way, but how can I build my satsang? How can I continue to associate with the wise is what I'm really pointing at. And it worked for me. And to do it with each other is going to make it happen so much faster for you, that you aren't, you are all the other beings you're associating with anyway in these graduate program meetups that you're having. And something wonderful is going to come out of those. And just to overcome this urge to kind of drop the inquiry, because it's just going somewhere completely different to where we're used to thinking, just to overcome that is going to be helped so much. So keep meeting up and keep associating with the wise. That's human beings, teachers, students that are on the same path. That's books, that's pictures, that's your contemplation, that's association with the wise, isn't it? Your inquiry is also association with the wise. Asking this powerful question is the most direct form of satsang. So, okay. Looking forward to hearing your feedback, and I'll be getting online like this next time, same time next week, Sunday morning, UK time. Probably won't be posted till Monday, for ease of, for helping Ian to manage all the things that he's doing to help. And but if you can send them in by Sunday, that would be great. Thank you. I'm really, really happy to see you all starting to break through. And if you're not breaking through, I really, really am happy to speak to you. Really let me know, please. Let me know where you're stuck as well, as where you're celebrating. Thanks.